morning's reading comes from the book of Jude, beginning at verse 17. And I am reading from the NIV. We have so many Bibles at home, from the NIV. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. Welcome, Sam, to come and preach the word for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sam. Thank you for his family. Lord, we just pray that you would anoint him this morning, that you would give him words of life for us, that you would allow him to speak something of your heartbeat into us. Lord, let us have receptive ears to hear what you're saying to your church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Great. Great to be here. Welcome to the program, as Andrew said, the older program. My name is Sam. If you don't know me, I've been part of the preaching team here at All Saints, part of the church. We're coming to this All Saints for a few years now and really love it. Pentecostal background in Anglican, not sure what I'm doing here. But it's God's plan and I'm enjoying it and I'm loving it. By the way, I'm going to speak on the book of Jude. And as you know, the song goes by, let's go, let's sing it.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
That's good, Andrew.
Remember to let it into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
Is that enough, Sam? That's enough. Thank you.
Sam's going to write the second verse.
That's very beautiful. Thank you, team. As always, we'll have a bit of fun this morning. Anyway, welcome to the 10 a.m. service. Just want to announce and also want to invite you to the 7 p.m. I'm going to speak in the 5 as well. Not in the 7, by the way. In the 7 p.m., we have a worship night tonight. So, you know, if you feel want to stand and sing and worship with all the people, 7 p.m. right here. We'll be here with you and sing and honor our God. The book of Jude is not a common book preached by a lot of preachers. I thought it was the smallest book in the Bible, but in fact, it is not. Which is the smallest book, if someone can tell me? Obadiah. Yeah, this one has got only 25 verses, has got around 613 words. And I thought, okay, it's the smallest book, but even though it seems like a smallest book, but it packs a punch. It's got a lot of verses that talks about the Old Testament, a lot of references in the Old Testament as well. And it packs a punch because it talks about two different things. That is the main purpose of this book. Now Jude was written originally. Jude, the writer of Jude, wanted to originally write on something about salvation. Where he said, "Look, I want to write on a topic that that this is how we are saved. Salvation is a great thing that God has given us salvation. You want to write something nice, but he changed his intention because he found that there's a lot of false teaching that has infiltrated the church. So he's completely changed the intention of his writing, and now he's written this 25 verses that are quite important for each and every one of us here. And it's divided into two portions. The first, he uses almost 16 verses, almost 17 or 18 verses, all talks about the false teachers, because his main intention is to bring it up. As people, he wanted the church to identify that there is something happening in the church, and he's really not happy about it. So Jude who's the author of this book. His Greek equivalent name comes from Judah, which is Judas. Now we know there's only one Judas. A lot of us know Judas Iscariot. So that's the commonly known, but his original name is Judah. And so a short version of his Jude. Now, if you don't know about Jude, he is the brother of James, and he's likely the half-brother of Jesus. Nothing more is known about this man, Jude. But what we do know about him is that he came to faith sometime after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he was among the community of believers, the apostles, when everything was happening before that, but he wasn't saved. But they do say that he came to Christ after Jesus was raised from the dead. What we do know about Jude from his writing is that he was a passionate defender of truth. There was something wrong in church. He was so passionate that he wrote some harsh words against these false teachers. That's how much he hated them. And I think that's something for us to learn this morning, is that we are all called to be a passionate defenders of truth. We know the truth. Now, Pilate asked the most important question to Jesus, and he walked away. What did he ask? What is the truth? He had no patience to know what the truth was, because he didn't know the embodiment of truth was right in front of him. And he walked away. He asked the most important question, what is the truth? For us, we know that Jesus came in flesh. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for us. And he rose again. That is the truth for us. That is what we believe. Now, if we do not defend the truth, something else will come and take its place. And so Jude writes because he found that in those times in the churches that this false teaching has infiltrated the church. So we're going to look at a few things. What are the false teachers? And what are the characteristics? How do we know what a false teacher is? So all those things. Now, as I say, he uses very harsh words to make a mention of these false teachers. Now, if you look at, go home and read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, he uses very similar writing. The words he uses are very similar. Now, false teachers, when they come to a community, or when they become a part of a community, they never announce. Now, I don't think there is a special celebration whenever there's a false teacher that comes and he says, "All right, everybody, I want to announce you that this is a false teacher for the day." It never happens like that. They don't actually announce themselves, but what they do, as Jude says in verse 4, is that for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have slipped in among you. They sneak in. They sneak in the community. They don't announce themselves, but they do sneak in the community. And no one knows that this person is a false teacher, or what he does, what he believes or he doesn't believe. So they do secretly sneak in. What Jude uses, the most common word for these false teachers, is he calls them as the ungodly people. I think it's very clear that these false teachers have nothing God about them. There's nothing godly in their life. Their lifestyle, how they speak, what they say, there's no godliness in them. And he does also mention is that they pervert the grace of God into a license for sinning. Now, they use the grace of God as a license, saying, "Yeah, God has gracious, he will forgive us, but it is okay. It's okay to keep sinning." They use them as a license to keep on sinning. And the last thing, the most important thing about these false teachers is that they deny that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. So if we want to identify what a false teacher looks like, these are some of the templates that Jude has literally given us. Is that they secretly slip in a community. They are ungodly people. They pervert the grace of God into a license for sinning. And then the last one is they deny that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that Jude uses a lot of references in the Old Testament. Some of the references he uses here is that the very own people of God, that is the people of Israel, they rebelled against God and God destroyed them. So he uses a few references in the Old Testament and he says that Jude compares these false teachers like the rebellious Israelites in the wilderness. The other examples he uses is that there are angels who rebelled against God. Who's the one who rebelled against him? The name? Lucifer. Yeah. And him and his all one-third of his angels came down and they are like the false teachers. And he says they're sinners of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he also uses examples like in the Old Testament, in Genesis 4, it talks about Cain. In Numbers 22 till 24, it talks about Balaam. In Numbers chapter 16, it talks about the Korah. And he also says that these are the people who rebel against the Lord and they will experience the judgment of God. So he's very harsh. He knows that these people should not be infiltrating the church. So he's putting up a strong case against these false teachers. And he goes on further to say that who are they like? He uses metaphors like shepherds. False teachers are like shepherds who feed themselves. What is the main goal of a shepherd? To look care of the sheep. But no, they took care of themselves. They fed themselves. He says they are like clouds without rain. I mean, that doesn't make sense. They are like autumn trees without fruits. They are like wild waves of the sea. They're foaming up to their own shame. And the last thing he uses, he says, they are like wandering stars. Stars that wander aimlessly, whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. So I think some of really good discussions we could have in our home groups is that what are some of the false teachings that have infiltrated our church currently and has been happening, you know, over a long time. I can give you a few examples. Things like we need to redefine our marriage. Think about it. Redefining what a man is. Redefining what a woman is. Even there are some churches that still don't believe that the Holy Spirit is for now. They still believe that the Holy Spirit is for then. We don't need him anymore. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. That's it. We don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. There are still churches that do believe it. And what are the other false teachings that had invaded the church? So let's talk about it in a home group and discuss. Because we need to be aware of these false teachings that had invaded the churches. And this will completely destroy our faith. So the book of Jude is literally like a fighter's manual for believers. As you would have heard the saying that the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. And we are called to really battle. Because the fight is for what we believe. The fight is for our faith. And Jude uses the specific words called, he uses the word contend. Contend. Contend means it's about someone who is stepping onto the battlefield and fighting for what they believe in. We are the troops in the battle. And who is our captain? Jesus Christ is a captain. He's a commander. And we have been given all the artillery that we need to fight for this faith. And that's why I think I did ask the team if we can choose specific songs. Is because something happens when we declare. It's very powerful when we declare. If we confess the truth that God has been revealed in Jesus Christ, there are early Christians who did that. They confessed it. And as Christians, we need to confess what we believe in. Even in the New Testament period, what I read earlier is that they formulated some creed statements, as you would have known before, to summarize the essentials of our Christian faith. There are songs that go by, I believe. I believe in God our Father. I believe that Jesus Christ, He's the Son. I believe that the God, the Holy Spirit. What are some of the essentials of our Christian faith? Think about it. What are some of the essentials of a Christian faith? Is that Jesus is fully God, fully human? Is that salvation is not by works, it's by grace. Is that salvation is comes only through one God, it's through Jesus Christ alone. And that's what we preach, that's what we believe. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is only one God. And there are the essentials like the Holy Trinity. We believe God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You thought it's a small book? It packs its punch. In India, there is a saying, they use the saying of, because we do like our food spicy. We do like it nice and hot. We do have a lot of peppers or a lot of chili peppers. So they say the smallest chilies are the most hottest in the world. So the smallest they are, they have got more, so much power. And so the same way, the smallest book, or closer to smallest book, has got some power. And so one of the ways we can fight for our faith is by declaring. It's by declaring every day. It's not a motivational thing, but God has already said in His Word, declaring with our mouth what we believe, confessing with our hearts that Jesus Christ. So declaration is quite powerful. And the other way we can fight for our faith is fighting, as the Bible says, with gentleness and with respect. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, if we're in church, we're in a nice setting, we need to believe that God is here. But if you get out in the world, if I ask somebody, tell me how you can fight. I don't think I need to show you how to fight, right? When we were traveling a few weeks ago, you know, you see those videos in the aeroplane, there's always this argument. Hashtag Karen, they use the we met one of them. Whether it's in the flight or even in the airport. And I don't want to go more in the details. and they had to eventually escort the person out of there and cause some issues. So what I'm trying to say is that I think we all know how to fight. But what God is saying is that we need to fight for what? For our faith. It's important that we do not just stay back and sit and relax, but this Christian life that we call is a battleground. We need to fight for our faith. And in fact, the word that Jude uses, he doesn't use the faith that we have. He uses the word most holy faith. As Sue read in verse 20, it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith. Because the faith that we carry, the faith that has been taught to us, is valuable. It's precious. And if we don't protect it, something else will come and sweep over it and our faith will be faulty. It's like our faith will be diluted. And it's so crucial what we teach our young people, what we teach our kids. The faith is precious, teaching them about Christ, teaching them about Bible verses. So one of the things we can way to keep our building up in our faith, as Jude talks about, is going to the main source. The main source is His Word of God. God has written, as someone says, His love letters to us by reading it. If you read this well-known verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture, or everything in here, is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How amazing that is. God has given us this word for each and every one of us that we may be equipped for every good work. Now, what I would love you to do is, you know where the word it says, the servant of God? Try to put your name in. And read that again. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that Sam may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. that Andrew is thoroughly equipped for every good work, that Julia is equipped for every good work, that Dan, you're equipped for every good work. How powerful it is. God has not left us just all by ourselves. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's also given us His powerful word that this is what will keep us strong. Jesus talked about the false teachers. Peter even talked about the false teachers. Even the Apostle Paul talked about false teachers. But you know what Jude says? They're already here. False teachers are already here. They will never make a fuss about themselves. They will never announce themselves. But they've already infiltrated the church. So it's time for us to fight for the faith that we carry. So the one way is by reading His Word every day. You know, sometimes I do get guilty about it. I have 3 kids under 6 and they're never quiet. It's always, thank you for acknowledging that. After 8:30 is when we have a little bit of peace in the house. And sometimes I want to say, okay, maybe I need to read my Word after they go to sleep. But by the time then both our parents, me and my wife, we are tired. So we sometimes feel like, okay, there's no time for God. But sometimes what I've changed is in the morning before they get up, I get up and I say, okay, maybe this is my time. And all I read sometimes is just one word, one verse from the Bible. And I keep that reminding myself that this is, and I hold on to that. And I remember that this is what sustains me. Sometimes we don't need to read a whole chapter, but sometimes when we don't have as much time and we don't need to feel guilty ourselves, because the guilty doesn't come from God. And it's God's grace. He will help us. We hold on to this one verse. And it will sustain us. So God's word is one of the most important ways where we can build our faith. And the second thing is praying in the Holy Spirit. It's prayer. It's prayer is what changes things. Prayer is what moves mountains. I think we know here at All Saints the amount of prayer we do. And there are so many prayer warriors here. I thank you so much for praying. Even thank you for our friends who prayed for our trip. I never got sick in my trip. The moment I landed in New Zealand, I got a bit sick. I'm not saying anything. I think it's just the change in the weather. When I was home last month, I spoke at my dad's church. That's the church I grew up in. And so for the 2 Sundays, I thought I'll just relax. But dad's like, no, you're sharing. Okay. Thanks, dad. He said, I want to tell a testimony. So this is my dad. I've got my brother, my sister, and I'm the youngest in the family. And so he shared this testimony. So I wasn't sure which child he was talking about. So he said, out of the 3 kids, I want to share you one testimony. I think he's apparently shared the other testimonies about each of us earlier Sundays. And he said, we were pregnant. This is my mom. We were pregnant with our child. And everything was going fantastic. Up to 6.5, 7 months, no issues with the baby. And one day, we were going on a horse ride. So dad said, oh, we'll just go on a horse ride. I think he wasn't sure. He shouldn't have done it. But he said, we went on a horse ride, and all of a sudden, the horse carriage snapped. And the horse started running ahead, but the whole carriage, so it was my dad and my mom, went back. And he fell backwards. And he said, yeah, we all got up, and my wife was a bit sore. And so she was 7 months into the pregnancy. And he said, nothing was hurt. We were not injured. Everything was okay. So we went back to our houses. And since then, my wife started complaining she's having soreness. So they took her to the doctors. The doctors said, we couldn't do much. We couldn't do anything about it. So they took her to another specialist, and they said, she's still having sore tummy. She's still having pains. What should we do? And the doctors really gave up. And they said, well, you shouldn't have gone on the horse carriage. So what my dad and my mom did, they said, we have gone to the doctors. The doctors couldn't do anything. We have got a greater doctor. Let's just pray. Let's just pray every day. He said, since that day when we since we had the fall, my wife would complain every day to me that she's having pains, she's having pains. So they really didn't have a guarantee that one of our kids will be born. So they prayed since that day, each and every day. They said, and they just committed it to the Lord and said, God, you have given me this baby. You need to help let the baby come out safe after the 9 months, and then there should be no concerns, no issues. And he said, it was time in the in mid-June when the baby was due on 21st of June on an early morning at 12 o'clock. Beautiful baby boy was born. His name was Sam. He had no issues. He was perfect. He was absolutely normal. And God did a miracle for us. And he also said he's one of the most handsome kids I've ever had. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. What I wanted to tell you is the power of prayer. As God will do the most miraculous things in your life when you trust you, when you trust Him and you believe in Him and you hold on to Him. And a lot of us have experienced that. A lot of us have known that. And that's how we build our faith in Christ. It's through knowing God through prayers. And the last few things that Jude talks about is how we can build our faith. Is the first thing is to reading His Word, is to relying on Him, declaring with our mouth, is praying in the Holy Spirit. He says, keeping in God's love. He's saying, being merciful to those who doubt, saving others from the fire. And the last one, he says, is hating even the cloth that is stained by the corrupted flesh people. He said, hate those clothing. Don't even, not about even them, but it's even the clothes they wear. Stay away from them. I think, as I come to the end of this, I think it's a good reminder for us is that the Christian life that we live is not a life of easiness. I think it's a battle. It's a life of overcoming obstacles. It's a life of fighting for what we stand for, fighting for our faith. And it's important. It's a call for me as I was reading this book is that I need to stand for my faith wherever I am so that I don't get attacked by anything. I don't get infiltrated by all the false teachings that I might hear and believe that, oh, this is true, but rather go to the main source, that is the Word of God. I think it's a call for each and every one of us here at All Saints is to stand and to fight for the faith. And I want to finish with this beautiful benediction that Jude writes. I think some of us know about it as the team comes and gets themselves. It's very powerful. I think when we stand, when we fight for our faith by going to His Word, by memorizing it, by declaring it, and by praying in the Holy Spirit, by saving others, and we and also hating the clothing that is stained by the people who bring in the false teaching, when we do all of that, God does promise us two things. And this is as I finish this benediction that a lot of churches use. Verse 24 and 25, it says, To him who is able to keep you, I think when you go home, put in your name and read that word again and again. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.